You're busy, really busy. So what if I told you that there's a secret ingredient that might unlock that next level of life you've been yearning for, and it doesn't involve any more work or to-dos on your calendar? Intrigued? Keep listening to find out what that is. You're listening to the Purpose Filter Podcast, the show that helps you up-level every aspect of your life so you can live without regrets. I'm your host, life coach, and hospice and palliative care doctor, Louie Cathy Zhang. I care for the dying, so I've learned a thing or two about living. On this week's episode, we are exploring dolce far niente, or what the Italians call the sweetness of doing nothing. Now, before you zone out and write this off thinking, I'm not about doing nothing, this isn't about not working or not being productive. This episode is about exploring why we feel the compulsion to stay busy down at its very core, and how our lives can actually radically change by embracing some time for stillness and rest. Take a listen. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another week here at the Purpose Filter Podcast. This episode is all about the sweetness of doing nothing. The Italians, since I just came back from Italy, have a phrase for it, and it's called dolce far niente. Sweetness, dolce, far, fare, which is to do, niente, which is nothing. And the Italians, man, they do this so well. We have definitely something to learn from them when it comes to this, especially in our culture. You know, they also have the term la dolce vita, which is the sweet life. And when we were there, I noticed something, and I tend to notice this whenever we're in Europe, but let's say you're in a cafe, you're in a restaurant, they just kind of let you be. They don't come around and nosy about and just hand you the check and be like, whenever you're ready, kind of thing that, you know, sometimes I bet you've experienced here in the States, or, you know, if you're not here, somewhere else. But they just are okay with sitting at a cafe and just being, enjoying the weather, enjoying each other's company, enjoying just being there, right? Whereas so often we're just like, I have to do something. I can't just be not busy, in a sense, right? And that's what I really wanted to talk about in this episode, because I have so many clients. We are all busy, right? I have so many clients who are like, I literally do not know what I would do with my free time if I had free time, right? Or I have another client who was like, I literally cannot remember the last time I was relaxed. I asked her, I was like, when was the last time you felt relaxed? And she actually could not come up with an answer for a solid few minutes. And it wasn't until later on in the session, she's like, oh yeah, okay, maybe I do have some time that I do feel relaxed. But it was something that wasn't even at the forefront of her brain, where she could not actively recall it. That's how busy we are, right? And of course, look, I get it. We have bills to pay. We have to work. We have to do all these things. And how much of that is fully absolutely necessary, and how much of it is us being addicted to the feeling of being busy? And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. And here's the interesting thing that I noticed about this trip to Italy. I had actually gone to Italy with my parents when I was a teenager back in 2016. That was the last time I was there. And my parents planned this huge, huge whirlwind trip, right? Literally 7 cities in 15 days. Paris, Rome, Venice, Milan, Brussels, Amsterdam, London. These are not cities that are like really, really close together. We went to several different countries, right? And I just remember it being so hectic because we literally were in a new city, a new country, almost every other day. And get this, we even took train rides, overnight train rides in the sleeper car, like 4 or 5 nights, because one, we wanted to save money, and two, it was an efficient use of our time, right? We're going to sleep anyway. We might as well sleep on the train. And it was just me thinking, like, how much of a achiever mentality and a scarcity mentality that was for my parents, for myself, where they were just like, we're never going to go travel again. You know, they were like, we have to do this huge trip and we have to see all of these cities. We have to see all of these sites because who knows what's going to happen. And of course, you know, they're still alive, luckily, and they've traveled plenty, plenty since then. And it just makes me think how much we have ingrained this pattern, this mentality, these thoughts of like, we have to do this and we have to be busy and we have to have our vacation be busy as well. And not everyone travels this way, but it was just something that was brought to my mind because this is how I grew up, right? And I know a lot of you may have grown up with someone else telling you, you have to work hard. You have to do these things. You have to put your nose to the ground and just grind it out in order to be successful, in order to achieve. But is that really the way? Because here's the thing, whether we know it or not, whether we're conscious of it, whether we like it or not, we are addicted to being busy. I am no exception from that. I live in this world too. And here's the thing about being busy. Unconsciously, subconsciously, a part of us is afraid that if we slow down, if we do nothing, that we'll discover something about our life, about ourselves, that we may not want to know. Right? Maybe we actually hate our jobs. Maybe you're tired of being alone. Maybe you don't feel successful on the inside, even though it seems that way to everyone else on the outside. Maybe someone you love is sick and might be dying, or you're not happy with your relationship, you're not fulfilled, or your health isn't where you want it to be. Any number of things can be the culprit of us feeling like we have to be busy and cramming our lives with events and meetings and things so that we don't feel whatever it is we're afraid to feel. Because sometimes we use busyness as a proxy, as a shield from doing what scares us, right? I was watching on Netflix this show called Indian Matchmaking. I'd seen season one. I really enjoyed it. And someone else told me that there are actually two more seasons. I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And there was one scene, there was one woman who hired this matchmaker. If you don't know the premise of the show, it's about this one woman, Seema, and she's a top matchmaker. She lives in Mumbai in India, but she flies all over the world to help Indians get matched for marriage. And so there's this one client of hers who's in New York who she matched with a guy in LA. Their first visit, their first date, quote unquote, he flew from LA to New York. Their second date visit, they met up in Houston where this woman has family. And turns out that she was actually in LA maybe a couple weeks prior to their second visit in Houston. And he was like, oh, if I'd known you were in LA, you know, I would have come out to meet you. And she was like, oh, I know. I was just so, so busy. And here's the thing. Look, who knows what was actually going on in her head, in her life? Maybe she was really, really busy. But how many of you, myself included, how many of us have done this where we're like, oh, no, I'm too busy, but I actually really like this person. But if I put myself out there, then I risk the chances of being rejected. What if she actually really did like him? She kind of mentioned it. She did like him. What if in her head, she was like, oh, if I am in LA and I tell him that I'm in LA and he doesn't want to meet with me, well, no, then I'm going to get rejected. Because sometimes what happens is we are afraid of a feeling. Maybe that's rejection. And I'll give you an example from my own life. Recently, I came back from Italy and I had a lot of things on my plate, and part of it was replying to a bunch of emails. And I procrastinated on sending these emails for at least a week, maybe more, because I probably procrastinated on sending them during my vacation, but I had an excuse. I'm too busy. I'm on vacation, right? I don't have internet access, blah, blah, blah. All excuses, I know. But what I realized was that I was procrastinating. I was numbing myself by watching YouTube videos about, you know, K-pop bands, which I don't usually do. I love them, of course, but I don't always spend my time doing this. And I had to ask myself, like, why am I avoiding sending an email? It literally takes 2 minutes. I was trying to get more information about something. And what I realized is that I was avoiding the feeling of shame because I knew that if I found out more information, if I replied to these emails, I would have to take care of something that I don't currently have the finances for, that I would have to ask someone for money, which as a very proud person, as someone who is very self-reliant and that sort of thing, pains me to do so, even though, and I'm admitting vulnerably here, that I don't have the money to cover it. And so once I realized that that was what was happening, it was so easy to send that email because I had to just be like, look, this is a feeling. I'm afraid of a feeling. But so many of us aren't even aware that what we're afraid of is shame, that what we're actually afraid of is rejection, that what we're afraid of is judgment from ourselves, from other people. And then we numb ourselves with Netflix, with shopping, with YouTube videos, with meddling in other people's lives or affairs, when literally we should just be worrying about ourselves. And I know what some of you might be thinking. You're like, if I don't do anything, if I do nothing, then I'll feel selfish. Then I'll feel not productive. Then I feel like there's something wrong with me. And I want to really have us reevaluate that. What's wrong with doing nothing? We're not saying do nothing for the rest of your life. We're not saying don't go to work. What we're saying is, can we take a break? Can we allow ourselves to rest just a little bit and to build it into our lives intentionally, right? And think about this. It is not about doing nothing. It is about what doing nothing gives us in return. Peace, restoration of our energy, because so much of it is about the energy that we bring to our lives. We could keep working, but at a certain point, we know that the quality of the work that you produce when you're burnt out pales in comparison to the quality of the work that you can produce when you're rested, when you're ready to go, when you're motivated, when you have the energy and you're like, nothing will stand in my way and I'm going to get this shit done, right? Just the feeling of that is totally different than like, oh, I got to do it. I'm really, really busy and I've got to make this happen and I've got to hit a deadline. And I hope that you will analyze this and think about where this comes from. For me, like I said, this comes from my parents' immigrant mentality, right? We have to work hard. Otherwise, we're not going to be successful. Otherwise, we won't make it in this country. I've had other people who are like, no, if I do nothing, if I take time for myself, then I'm selfish, right? Because for some reason, taking time for ourselves, especially as women, is seen as, oh, self-indulgent. So the first step with anything is awareness, is just to be like, why am I doing this? Am I being busy for the sake of being busy? Am I trying to cram my life with things so I don't feel the pain of whatever it is I'm trying to avoid feeling? And the awareness, once you recognize that, then you can put a block. Then you can stop that thought from continuing down the path, because that's literally what it is. It's neural pathways. I've talked about this before, and this is what I do in my coaching, right? We have ingrained neural pathways. And the more that we think and go down that route, the stronger and stronger that neural pathway gets. It's like a superhighway, a 4 or 5 lane superhighway compared to a dirt road. What path is your brain going to want to go down? The one that's faster, the superhighway. Of course, your brain wants to conserve energy. It is all about survival. The good news is that if we can be aware of our thoughts, if we can be aware of our ingrained patterns, of our habituated ways of thinking and being, and we can just say, oh, hey, I'm going down that pathway and I'm going to stop and I'm going to block it and I'm going to do something. We put up roadblocks, things that I teach my clients, like tapping, like peripheral awareness, like bilateral stimulation, like all these different things. If we can just pause and stop it for a few times, that impulse, that neural pathway can collapse. It can diminish significantly. And if you do it in the right way, we can insert something in there that is more empowering, that is more helpful for you. So that's number one, is being aware of what's going on. The second one is gratitude. Okay. And of course, we've talked about this before. gratitude for what is happening right now. I'm grateful as much as gratitude for what is happening right here, right now. As awful as things can get, there is always something to be grateful for. Even in concentration camps in World War II, if you've read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, if you've read any of the literature coming from the Holocaust or anyone who's gone through something awful and terrible, they were still able to find something to be grateful for. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is because I don't know your specific life situation. And I know that if we intentionally look for it, there is always something there. And not just something, probably many, many things. What we focus on grows. Focus on the positive, that grows. And that doesn't mean we're not accepting and aware of all the shit that's going on in our lives and in the world and all the awful things. Those things also happen and we can find things to be grateful for. And the third thing that we can also do is tackling things head on, right? Life is going to happen whether we like it or not. I see this all the time with my palliative care and hospice patients. They know that they're dying. They know that their time is limited. And they're like, you know what? It's going to happen sooner or later. I can't avoid it. The patients who are the most accepting, who are the most at peace with what's happening, they're the ones who are like, you know what? It's happening, but at least I can find something to do. At least I can find some action to take, whether it is getting their affairs in order, whether it's talking to their family about what they want to do, something rather than avoiding the fact that it's down the road. That little locus of control is sometimes all that it takes for us to feel like we know what's happening, for us to feel like we have some agency in our lives rather than numbing ourselves with busyness, rather than numbing ourselves with whatever else it is that we're putting in place of feeling the discomfort. Because you've probably heard this before. Life will send you signals. It'll flick a little pebble at you at first, and then maybe hurl a rock, and then it'll drop a frickin' boulder on you until you get the point. So start upstream, tackle things head on, see if you can feel a little bit more discomfort. And that's okay. It's a feeling. It's a feeling, right? Another thing that one of my clients does is they literally schedule nothing time into their calendar. And this is what I advocate as well. If you cannot find time, make time, create a little bit of a block in your calendar to be like, I'm going to do nothing right now, or I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a walk. Replenish your energy. My client who schedules that, she's like, I really ideally would love to have a 1 hour lunch. And I want to sit on my couch and I want to read my favorite publication. And so she took a little bit of action. She's like, I subscribed to that publication. I'm not entirely sure if I'm ever going to read it during my lunch break, which I really, really want, but I'm taking that action. She's doing something. She's voting for the type of life, the type of person she wants to be by taking that little action of subscribing. Okay. And I told her this. I was like, look, you may want to schedule out an hour. And if you're not used to it, it's going to feel uncomfortable as all hell. Okay. So start small. The discomfort can be increased as you feel more comfortable with it. So start 5 minutes, give yourself 10 minutes of being and doing nothing. Allow yourself to experience that sweetness, because this busyness, this achiever treadmill of being like, well, you have to work, 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 that's not sustainable. You need the energy to be able to do what you want to do, to be able to create the life that you really want to live, the type of life that you don't need to run away from, the type of life that you don't need a vacation from. That is what we're doing here. That's my goal. And that is my dream for every single one of you listening to this. So if you're tired of being so busy, you can't even remember the last time you felt relaxed and you really want to discover how your life can change just by embracing some time for yourself, then book a call with me and let me show you how good life can get when you get out of your own way and invest in your future. Click the link in the show notes to book a pro bono call with me to see if we're a good fit for each other. Follow me on Instagram and LinkedIn for more inspiring content. And as always, take care of yourselves and take care of each other.